The following message was given by Ernest Martin on December 14, 1957, in San Diego, California.
Well, hello everyone again. This is my second sermonette to preach to you here, if you want to call it that. And I'm certainly very happy to come and be able to give you some of the message from God's Word. You know, this modern-day Christianity that we have in the world is a Christianity that is mixed up. They certainly don't believe all the same things. In fact, they profess doctrines diametrically contrary that's found in this word here, and they say things that are differing from one another. It's much like the story of the three blind men that went out to describe an elephant. One of the blind men, he got hold of the tail, and another blind man got hold of the leg, and another blind man, he got hold of the side. And when they came back to tell what the elephant looked like, one blind man said, "Well, it looks like a long snake-like affair." Another blind man said, "No, you're wrong. It's like a pillar of some kind, a big pillar." Another man said, "Oh, no, it's wide like a barn." Now, that's the way modern Christianity looks at the Bible. They see certain little aspects of it, but they don't get the whole picture, you see. They're blinded. And that's what the Bible says. They're completely blinded. You've got to have your eyes completely open to understand the full significance of what this word says here. Now, one of the reasons that mankind is blinded today is because they reject one of the fundamentals of the Bible. And that is that God is ruler. And because he is ruler, that necessitates that he must have laws. That he has laws in motion. And that when mankind reject laws, then they are rejecting God. And because they reject God, they cannot understand the Bible. Now, God's laws are very, very important. The basic, fundamental facts that God is trying to give us, to show us, are his laws. Now, Christianity today has rejected the laws of God. Oh, sure, they do accept a few of them, but when you put all of them together, they reject them outright. But a prerequisite to becoming a Christian, so says Jesus Christ in Revelation 12:17, is that you accept all of the commandments of God and do them all. Now, some say that the Apostle Paul came to do away with the laws of God. But yet he said that he had an example before him. He said, "You, Corinthians," as he was talking to at that time in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "You become imitators of me inasmuch as I am imitating Christ." Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter 2:21, where he says, Christ is our example that we should follow in his steps. And John said the same thing, that we should walk in the steps that Jesus Christ walked in. Now, Jesus Christ is our example. He is the one that gave the laws to begin with, at Mount Sinai when he gave them to Moses. But also, he is the one that magnified those laws and gave the spiritual intent to them, because they did not have the Spirit at that time. And that is one reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth. He came to give the spiritual intent to the laws of God. He did not come to do away with them, but he came to magnify them. And that is what modern Christianity has rejected, that Christ did not do away with the laws, but rather that he magnified them. Now, the Bible says that very plainly. If you'll turn open, first of all, to Matthew, the 5th chapter, to a verse I know you are all acquainted with, but have you ever taken it out and analyzed it, so that you can understand exactly what Jesus Christ is saying? If you'll notice Matthew 5:17, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." But there, say the Christians, so-called Christians in the world, don't you see, Christ didn't come to keep the law necessarily. He came to fulfill it, you know, do away with it. That's what he came to do. But you know, this word "fulfill" here doesn't mean the way the modern Christianity accepts it at all. If you get it in the inspired Greek, it means something entirely different than doing away with the law of God. It simply means, if I can place it in one Greek scholar's language, he said it's much like you take a wine glass and it's half full of wine, and then you take some more wine out of the pitcher and fill it full, right up to the top, till it flows over, you see. Now, Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to fill it up, or to make it full, or to fulfill it, you see, or fill it full. Now, that's exactly what the Greek means. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy. I am come to fulfill or fulfill. It means the same thing. Now, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. And there's a prophecy in the Old Testament that shows plainly that was what he was going to do. If you can turn back to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, beginning, well, let's read the 21st verse. Isaiah 42, 21. Here is a prophecy concerning Christ. He says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake." That's Christ. "He will magnify the law and make it honorable." Now, what is Christ coming to do? This is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ at his first coming. And he is coming to magnify the law. He is coming to fill it full with something. To give something that the people before did not have, but now they can have because Jesus Christ is coming into the world. He's coming to magnify it and to make it honorable. Now let's see what Jesus Christ actually did do. In the 19th verse, you'll notice this in Matthew 5 again. He says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now let's see. Jesus Christ is saying, whosoever shall break one of these commandments, the ones that he is going to name right afterward here, whosoever shall break one of these shall be called least in the kingdom of God. Now, what does he mean here that whosoever shall break one of these least commandments? Well, this word least actually means, and it has been translated in other places, little or small or short. One of these shortest commandments. And let's notice the ones that Jesus Christ named afterward. He says, "You shall not kill." That's a short commandment. But let's notice how Jesus Christ magnified it. He gave the spiritual intent to it. Just not the letter, but the spirit. For notice this, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment," and so forth. Now let's turn over the page, at least it is in my Bible, the 27th verse. And notice how short this is, or how little, but yet how big. "You shall not commit adultery." Now, some people will say, well, just living with another man's wife, that's committing adultery. But Jesus Christ came to magnify the law, to fill it full with the Spirit. Notice what he says. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to even lust after her," now I'm not quoting it exactly, but that's what it says, "to even lust after her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You see what Jesus Christ is doing? Is he doing away with it? Or is he adding to it in a sense? Then he goes on down to another very short commandment. Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But he goes into this and saying that only for the cause of fornication or fraud before marriage can anyone be put away. And then it's only an annulment if you understand what it's speaking about on adultery. And then he goes into oaths and so forth. And an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And in verse 43, that you shall love your neighbor. You see, these are all short commandments, but yet they have importance to them. Great importance. Because Christ came to give the magnification of them, what they actually meant. Now, when you turn back to Matthew 5:17, I think you can see a few little of what Jesus Christ is actually bringing out. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fill full," or to fulfill, either one. It means the same thing. Coming to magnify the law, to give the spiritual intent to it. Because the law that came forth from Sinai was the law of God, but they did not have the spirit at that time to keep it. Whereas you and I do. And we can come to understand the spiritual intent of it where they couldn't. And Jesus Christ came to give that spiritual intent, to magnify it, to make it honorable so that we can apply it into our lives. Now let's go to verse 18. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now there again, some say, well, see, The law is done away with because it was fulfilled in Christ. But let's look at this. If you'll turn over with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, I believe. Luke 22, beginning with verse 15. You're going to see how the word fulfilled is used here. And it brings out the true meaning of what Christ actually was saying. Now, these words fulfill and fulfilled, they actually mean what they say to the King James people. But people today have misunderstood them. That's the reason we have to explain them. Now, in verse 15 of chapter 22 of Luke, speaking about the Passover, Christ says this, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Does this mean done away with in the kingdom of God? Why, of course not. It means until it be being accomplished in the kingdom of God. Until it be being done there, you see. Being carried out there. That's what the word fulfilled meant to the King James people. And they understood that in many instances. It means to accomplish, or to carry out, or to fulfill an obligation, or to do it. Now, we turn back to Matthew 5 again. And let's read it as it should be, in modern English. "For verily I say unto you," in the 18th verse, "till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be doing it, until it be accomplished, until every last individual in this world, in this universe, be obeying the laws of God." That is what it means. And Goodspeed, in his 1923 translation, actually renders that verse as being accomplished. That the law of God should be being accomplished, or the heaven and earth will never pass away. Now that's what Jesus was actually bringing out. The laws of God are important. He came to magnify them, not to do away with them. The Apostle Paul merely magnified them too. He gave the spiritual intent to them, but the people today don't understand them. Little do they understand what the new covenant actually means. They say, why, we're under grace, you know. We're under the new covenant. We don't have to keep the laws of God. Well, just exactly what is the new covenant? Just a matter of, shall we go to that just a minute? Turn over to Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and starting with the 7th verse. "For if that first covenant, that one at Sinai, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But finding fault with them," that means the Israelites, the fleshly Israelites who did not have the Spirit of God, "finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." Now notice this. Here is the new covenant that people say the laws of God have been done away with. Notice it. Verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now that's what the new covenant is. It's a time when the laws of God shall be placed right in the very mind of an individual, when they'll be placed on the heart. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ came to give us. He came to give us the new covenant, that is, the spirit of the law, to be able to understand its importance and its spiritual intent, how to go about loving our neighbors in the correct way, what actually it means to murder. It means actually to be angry with someone. Any of those spiritual intents that Christ is actually magnifying and amplifying. You see, that's what the new covenant is, and when he can put those laws right into our very minds so that we can understand them. Yes, truly, Jesus Christ did not come to do away with the law, no. But let's read that verse again in Matthew 5, and let's get this straight so we can all understand it. It says in Matthew 5:17 again, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fill them full. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass the law until everyone be doing it."
This message is provided by the Bible Study website at address www.biblestudy.org and Barnabas Ministries. Bible study. You have questions, the Bible has answers. Message introduction and closing by Dave Williams, digitizing and editing by Alan Ruth, and post-production by Mike Summers.